sermon, you already got it. I was leading into that. Okay, because you already have the authority. You already got it. You got to use it. There's a lot that Jesus has paid for on the cross that we already have. And we tend to beg for it. We tend to act like we don't have it. We tend to live like it's not ours. And I'm just going to cover something today that is the central position of all that he paid for, and it's our birthright for everything he wants us to have. It's our position. And we're gonna get right into this. So the sermon title is, You Already Got It. Let's find out what you got, and then let's apply it. Let's appropriate it. Okay? So let me tell you this little story, because this story also goes way back, 100 years or so. But it went like this. There was a little small town, and the pastor in the small town, this is supposed to be a real story here, so, you know, stay with me. And the pastor of this small town got word that one of the little grandmas was starving. Now, they didn't have starving in their town. It's an agricultural town, and, you know, everybody's got gardens, and there's always more than enough, so to speak. So he was interested. He went by and knocked on the door, small community, and she let him in, and he went in and sat down, and he got to visiting with her, and he just asked her, Grandma, you got plenty to eat? She said, I'm financially strapped, and I'm having a hard time. And but I know God's good, and I know he's my provider, but I'm having a tough time. And so he's interviewing her and visiting with her, and he remembers, he said, didn't you have a son that moved off or something? You know, because the principle is, and it's here too, if you have a need, family first. And then the family of God. If your family don't help you, and we're helping people that their family won't help them. But I want to tell you, it's family first. But if family don't, family of God's going to step in. We've proven that, right? Well, this pastor, same thing. He asked, didn't you have a son that moved off and everything? She said, oh, yes. And how's your son doing? Well, he's doing great. You know, I get a letter from him every month. Okay, well, does your son know that you're in trouble? Not really, I haven't told him. And he said, well, maybe I need to communicate with him. She said, well, he sends me a nice card every month, and it's a pretty little card. And matter of fact, it's so pretty, I keep it, and I'm using it to wallpaper my room. And so he's visiting with her, and all of a sudden it hit him. He said, do you mind showing me your room that you've wallpapered? And she walked in, and she said, yeah. She said, it's nearly done. And so he walked in, and he's looking around the room, and sure enough, she's wallpapered these little cards and, you know, filling up the room. And he said, let me get the light a little closer here. And he walked in and opened up the shades. And the whole room was filled with Western Union. Money orders. And he's standing there in the house of a little grandma in his community that's going hungry and financially strapped. And he's looking around the room, and he's standing in the house of one of the richest women in his community. She had it. She had way more than enough provision, but she didn't know she had it. And so I'm telling you, Jesus has paid for a lot. He paid a supreme price. And he paid for a whole lot more than we know. But part of the reason that we're still here, part of the reason why that when you get saved, you don't jump right on up into heaven. The reason you're here is to discover through his word what all he has paid for and what all he has won for us, and to learn by grace through faith how to apply it, how to walk in it. And so it's very, very important that we are discoverers. We discover the treasure that he paid for, because he paid for us to have it. He paid for us to use it. He paid for us to walk in it. And so it's very, very important. Now, when you look at the Bible and you see the word saved, boy, that's a great word. And you know what? The gospel has been preached a lot that saved, salvation, has to do with your ticket to heaven. And you know what? That's true. And we don't belittle that. Boy, I'm telling you, that's part of the main thing. Because in receiving a ticket going to heaven means that you're forgiven. And your forgiveness is the main thing. It's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Okay? It's the main thing. I mean, the blood of Jesus has forgiven you of your sins. And because of the blood of Jesus forgiving you of your sins, past, present, future, you get to go to heaven. But what the forgiveness and the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of God wins for us is our position in Him to receive everything else. And that position is the gift of His righteousness. Because it's not our rightness, it's His rightness. But by His blood, He pays for us to have that gift of everlasting life, which includes forgiveness, and it's our position of righteousness. Because it's His righteousness that we get. It's a gift. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't grow into it. It's a gift. I'm telling you, when a 10 or 11-year-old prays to receive Christ, they receive the same potent gift of righteousness as an adult when they pray to receive Christ. It's the same gift. It's the same measure. It's the same amazing quality and quantity of Jesus. It's His righteousness. And we get that. Isn't that exciting? Okay, well, I want to tell you, sozo does mean heaven. It does mean forgiveness. But it also means to do well. It means provision. Is that great? Now, that's not the wheel in the middle of the wheel, but it's one of the spokes that come out of the middle of the wheel. And so there's a number of spokes in salvation. The middle of the wheel in the middle of the wheel is forgiveness. It's our position of righteousness from Jesus. And the spokes that come out, one of them is our provision because He's our provider. One of them is our rescue. He's our deliverer. And so He will deliver us from pits and addictions and things we fall into and get ourselves into. So another one is our protection. He's our divine protection. And He protects us from things that sometimes we don't even have a clue what He's protected us from. All right? Tornado went down 183 or down Shady Grove there in close to where we lived the other day. And, you know, we weren't fretful. We were having a great time. We had company over, and we were playing, having a great time. We didn't even hesitate when the wind and the rain and all that took place. But, you know, after it was all over with, I looked at the beautiful blonde, and I said, well, He's protected us again. Because we know it's Him. Don't you know it's Him? Don't you recognize it Him? Well, that's one of the wheels. One of the spokes that come out of the wheel is He's our protection. And He's also, one of the descriptions of sozo in Scripture is to be made whole. Now, that means our wellness. Now, I don't know. Where are you at? Well, I do know where you're at. All of you that are watching, I may not know where you're at, but I kind of do. But we need to be restored. We need to be made whole. Well, part of what He paid for on the cross was for your wholeness. It's His desire for it to be well with your soul. And for your soul to be well. For your body to be well. For your life to be well. And I want to tell you, that's part of salvation. It's everlasting life. And it doesn't begin when you get to heaven. I know we sing the songs, well, when we get there, well, that's going to be great when we get there. I'm telling you. I told a brother this week, I've had a glimpse of it, had a taste of it, can't wait to get back. But I'm telling you what, in between time, heaven's here, right here in your heart. And He wants what's in heaven to be expressed in your heart. And you know what? It's Him. And we have a birthright. You may hear this a few times today. You have a birthright to everything that Jesus paid for. When you pray to receive Christ, you're born again, and you're a birthright, you're a joint heir with Jesus, and we get everything that he paid for. We just don't know what all it is, and we need to learn about it, we need to discover it, and we need to learn how to apply it. Somebody say amen. Now, with all of this, it's possible to miss what the Lord wants to reveal to you and what the Lord wants to make real in your life by seeking a blessing and not the blesser. I have to say this because in ministering to people, sometimes people just want the blessing. I just need a financial blessing. Just pray for me. I need the miracle, and then I'll go on my way. Well, the Lord's a lot more interested in your life than just you going on your way. And so it's possible to seek a financial rescue and miss the provider. It's possible to seek a healing and miss the healer. And so you understand it's possible to seek a blessing and miss the blesser. But when you seek and touch and interact with the blesser, you get the blessings. Does that make sense? And so he wants you to know him. Now, I don't like religion. You already know I don't. But religion has a way of complicating our walk. Because it wants to hang all kind of rules and regulations on you in order for you to please God or in order for you to receive from God. Right? Not only rules and regulations, but religion has a way of putting boxes. Boxes around you of what you're able to do or what not able to do, what God will do or what God won't do. And not only will religion put boxes around you, it wants to put a box around God. It wants to limit God with what he can or can't do. And so I don't like religion. I want to tell you what's neat about Jesus, and this has to do with grace, but it's about Jesus. And you've heard me say it, that he's lowered the bar for you to get to God. Because he paid the price for the bar to be lowered. And it's no longer by the law, it's by grace. And so it's a free gift. And so he's saying, come, bring your burdens unto me. Bring your life to me. In order to gain this life, you give up your life. You don't want to settle for this kind of life. You've done that before. Wait a minute. You have a tendency to foul up whatever's good. Oh, come on. Look back into history just a moment. We're not going to park there. But you have a tendency to mess up whatever God brings good across your path. Because you put your fingerprint on it, you put your own way on it. Jesus said, give up your way to my way, and you get this life. You want this life, you give up your life for my life, and I'll walk you in this life. Which one do you want? God said, I set before you life and death, and he said, choose life. I want you to choose life because I got a whole lot more for you than what you would settle for. Okay. Every promise in the Word of God are the natural, simple byproducts of one thing. And that one thing is a gift. It's not something you earn. You get it at salvation. It's your position of righteousness. Now, sweet little Diane, would you hand me that robe right there? And I'm not going to walk over there because, it's an athletic event and I'm on camera. And, just be alert. I might need those other things too. When you accept Christ, you get a robe of righteousness. It's not your robe. It's his robe. It's a gift. But he gives it to you. And what he puts is your name on it because his name's on it. All right? And you become a part of his family when you accept Christ. Now, if you don't accept Christ, this don't work for you. No matter how holy you try to be, how good you try to be, no matter if you try so hard and you, at least you say, well, I'm better than somebody else. That don't matter. I'm fixing to give you an example on that. But I'm telling you what you get when you receive Christ, whether you realize it or not, is a robe of righteousness. And it's His robe. And when Father looks at you, He doesn't see your righteousness. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. And I want to tell you, His righteousness qualifies you. You see, it's not your rightness. His rightness qualifies you for everything that God has in store for you. It's everything in everlasting life. He's got it for you. I remember this was in Mexico. There was a missionary that had a car working. Boy, I'm telling you, that was a neat thing. But the place where we were staying it was so hot, so humid, so hot. I mean, I know with your air con, it might be hard for you to imagine, but it was so hot and so humid you couldn't sleep. But every now and then I realized that, you know, the missionary had slipped out to sleep in the car because there wasn't much room. And he just leaned back, and every now and then I'd hear that vehicle crank up. And after a few times, I realized he got the air con on. Now look, if you just used your vehicle for air con, that's very limited to what it was designed for, to the purpose that it's supposed to be. Because the vehicle above all things, and I heard the ladies describing this morning, you know, they used the bun warmer on the way to church. Well, praise God. I can remember when they didn't have it. And I heard another one, first lady, I just told you. I heard the first lady say, well, my next one's going to have a heated steering wheel. And I'm thinking, oh, I remember when that wasn't available. But let me just tell you something. If the only thing you use your vehicle for is a bun warmer or to warm your hands on the steering wheel, then you're missing the best of what it's designed for. I'm telling you, a lot of Christians that way. But Jesus has paid the price right here, man. You have the gift of righteousness, and that means that you have available for everything that He is and all that He has. He's not withholding back from you. And so I'm here to tell you the primary purpose of a vehicle is to transport. I want to tell you, part of the main purpose that you're left here after you receive Christ is to have a journey with the Lord. It's to transport. It's to have a walk with Him. Anybody hear that? I'm going to grab that again in just a minute. Don't forget it. Okay. I'm trying to paint you some pictures this morning. Okay. It's not about being righteous. If you focus on your performance, you're wrong. Okay, if you focus on your performance, you're going to miss. All right? It's not about you being righteous or striving to live righteously. Matter of fact, the harder and harder you try to be right on your own with your own strength, pulling up your own boots by their bootstraps, the sooner you're going to burn out and mess up. Because you're human. It's not about doing right to qualify for His blessings. Well, if I do this, God will do this. No, He's not a deal maker. The covenant's already been made. There's no more deal out there. The covenant's been made. I'm talking about seeking the Lord, receiving of the Lord. Here it is about the gift of righteousness. You know what? In order for this to be effective, you got to believe you have it. You got to understand and believe you already got it. And it's in the believing that the Holy Spirit will show us through His Word how to apply it. You've got a life coach in you. That's the Holy Spirit. He comes in when you get saved. The very Spirit of Jesus comes in you. And He says that He will teach you all things. He will teach you how to use this robe of righteousness in your journey. Is that good news? And so you're not left on your own to try to figure this out. You've got the Word and the Holy Spirit. You've got pastors, teachers, fivefold ministry to help you learn how to walk in the gift that He's given you, how to apply it. It's more than a bun warmer. Somebody say amen. So how do we do that? Well, let's make it simple. See, religion wants to complicate it. wants to make you think that you got to go to seminary or some kind of school in order to learn. No, no, no. He's designed the kingdom of God to operate even with the simplicity of a little child. Here it is, Matthew 6:33. But seek. I'm telling you, seeking has to do with your heart. Seek, aim at, strive for, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. Do you understand his righteousness is important for you to understand and to be equipped, to know that you have the equipment and how to use it? And so seek ye first the kingdom. And then the Bible says, and then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. And so it goes real simple like this in Texas language. You seek the kingdom of God. You seek the king. And you seek his righteousness. It's his righteousness. To understand, to know, to walk in his righteousness. And the Bible says all of these things will be added unto you. He will line them up. He will cause you to receive. If we learn how to believe and receive the position of righteousness, he will cause us to receive everything else. Man, that made me want to shout. So before you came to Christ, before you were born again, the only righteousness that you have is your own righteousness. And as we know, no matter how moral we are, this is what Bible says. Are you ready for Bible? Isaiah 64:6. For we have all become like one who is unclean. The unclean usually speaks about a leper. The leper was unclean and had to declare unclean. Could not associate, be with. I'm telling you, the leper was contagious. And so we have all become unclean. That's what sin does. It makes you like the leper. And all of our righteousness is like filthy rags or a polluted garment. Okay, I need the polluted garment right there. Thank you, precious one, yes. As a matter of fact, this is not really what I requested. This is a clean one. Because in order for this to be a polluted garment, boy, I started to. I want to tell you how I've grown in sensitivity, because I started to have Robert go out and get some dirt and. But I'm so sensitive. But this is not even the exact Bible example, but this is close that my wife would agree with if it was a clean one. But it goes like this. Hey, you know what a dirty diaper's like. We had a fresh example from just a weekend ago. As a matter of fact, one of the things we agreed with, I don't know if you made a covenant when you got married. One of the covenants that we had is that she would change the clean diapers and I would get the dirty ones. That was my job. I was excited about having her. I said, sure thing. Well, this past weekend or so, I wasn't available. And so she got the opportunity to clean a few of them. I wanted video, but we didn't get it. But what I'm telling you, you know what a dirty garment is. Well, according to the Bible, this is what all of your goodness, all of your rightness, all that you can do, this is what it adds up to. A dirty, stinking diaper. A polluted garment. And we all fade like a leaf. Our iniquities like the wind take us away from God. So our righteousness is as filthy rags. Even if you do better than someone else, what I'm announcing to you, according to the Bible, all of your self-righteousness, even all the best that you can do, even if it's better than someone else, is like a dirty, stinking diaper compared to the holiness of God. Wow, because I want to tell you, Jesus came out harder against self-righteousness of religious people who thought they were more spiritual than someone else because they didn't do or they did do what other people. He came out harder on that than he did prostitutes and tax collectors. Okay, I'm trying to point something out to you. Because there are people that go to church that think that just because they don't do what other people do, they're going to heaven. There are people that think that just because they do better than some other people do, they deserve for God to do some things for them. That's self-righteousness. That is a dirty, stinking diaper. Somebody say, I understand. Good, because that helps me move on. All right. So we cannot measure up to the righteousness that God requires. But when you come to Jesus and His finished works, guess what? You get it. You get it. And it's yours. Now what happens when we don't understand we have it is that it's like it's folded up and put in your backpack and it's never brought out for the honor and glory of God and for your good. There's a lot that we miss out on because we don't know we have it and we don't apply it. Receiving and believing that you have the perfect gift of righteousness of Christ is the key to having everything else that He's promised in the Bible to you. It's the key to receiving it. It's your birthright to all that He is and all that He has. Paul teaches this and he emphasizes it with some strong language. Let's look at a little bit of it. It's Galatians 2:21. Therefore, I do not treat God's gracious gift as something of minor importance and defeat its very purpose. I do not set aside and invalidate and frustrate and nullify the grace, the unmerited favor of God. For if justification, see, it's talking about righteousness. It's talking about the position of righteousness, the gift of righteousness. Because then he goes on to say, how the world or how religious people try to get righteous. For if justification, righteousness, comes through observing of the law, then Christ died groundlessly. Let me see that cross there. Boy, you're going to deserve an offering before all this is over with. And you don't need to exercise. You look healthy. But, you know, here we go. If you think that you're smart enough, than the plan of Jesus. Now you're going to go to heaven because you know you're just smarter than everybody else. You know you're just a little more motivated than some people and you know you got it all figured out. And you know you can work it out yourself. Then I want to tell you what that's saying. It's saying if you believe that justification is by the law or by your works or by your strengths or by your giftings, then this was a waste. Is that strong wording? That's what he's saying. He's saying that Christ died groundlessly. There was no reason for him to come if you could do that. But the truth is, you can't do that. You need him. Everybody needs a Savior. I don't care how proud you are, what you think of yourself. I had to tell someone the other day, your main problem is who you see in the mirror. Now, I'm not picking on somebody. That's true for all of us. Because you need to see Jesus. You need Jesus. He died for you. But if you don't come His way through the cross, then He died without purpose and in vain. His death was a waste. Now, let me tell you what Paul really thinks about it. Are you ready? You ready to hear what he really thinks about it? Okay. Well, it's in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Oh, you poor, silly, and thoughtless, and unreflecting, and senseless Texans." Well, let me put it in another version. Maybe that'd be easier for you. The NLT says, "Foolish." Well, Texas language would go like this. "You stupid Texans, to think who has fascinated you or bewitched you, who has cast a spell over you." You see, that's referring to darkness. "Right before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was openly and graphically set forth and portrayed as crucified. Well, Brother Tim, what is he talking about? Well, I you know it very well. They know that there were people alive, still alive at the time, who witnessed personally the crucifixion of Jesus. And so there's that testimony. But I think what he's pointing out is that over and over and over and over again, we have painted a very clear, undeniable picture of the reason why that Jesus came and died on the cross. It was to take away your sins and to give you the gift of everlasting life. He died for you. And so this truth has been very clearly portrayed, the reason why he was crucified. And so, you know, without a doubt, it's Jesus, just Jesus, that changes your life. And you know what? It's not a partial surrender. It's not a partial commitment. Some people think, well, if I'm just attend sometime and I'm friendly with the pastor and I know the songs, then that means I'll go. No, Jesus said, there be many who say to me, Lord, Lord, but they don't know me. Right. He said in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount that you need to know me personally. It's not about what you do or how you do it. Hey, you can be born in a garage. They don't make you a car. You got to be born again in Jesus. And if you're not really born again, then you're missing. Okay? And so it's very, very important. He died to free you from that stupidity that darkness manipulates you into that way of living. He came for your freedom. He was punished for your freedom. And so now we're free to receive. It's unearned, unmerited, because he paid an extreme price. And I want to tell you, our God is a just God, and he is justified to freely forgive you and freely give you that position, that robe of righteousness, to receive everything else that he has for you, because Jesus paid the extreme price. He paid way more than enough for your sin. And so he is justified to give you the position of righteousness, the free gift of righteousness. Now look, it's not just in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, in Galatians, Paul points out that Abraham received by grace the gift of righteousness. Galatians 3:6, thus Abraham believed in. How did he receive it? He believed in. He adhered to. He applied it. Personally received it. Personally applied it. He trusted and relied on God. That's believing in God. That's saying yes to God. That's submitting to God. And it was reckoned. See, the old timers used to say this about grace and this position of righteousness. They used to have a term that said, reckon it so. They got it from this. Because Abraham simply believed with childlike faith. He believed, okay, I receive from you. It wasn't by his achieving, it was by his receiving and believing. The same thing with us. It's not by our achieving, Paul makes that clear. It's by our believing and receiving. Somebody say amen. That's how the gift of righteousness becomes our position and manifested. And so let's look at it. We need to reckon it so. They also used to say it like this. The old timers would say, deem it so. You deem it so. You reckon it so. You believe it to be so. If you don't believe in the robe of righteousness, the position of righteousness, you won't get the benefits. It's got to be believed. It's got to be received. It's got to be appropriated. You got to put it on. It was reckoned and placed to his account and credited as righteousness. Do you see that? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is the covenant of grace in the Old Testament. The covenant of Abraham was a covenant of grace. It wasn't performance. It wasn't law. This was before law. This wasn't by works. Because I want to tell you, Abraham was a mess. I know he celebrated, but boy, I pointed out before some of the biggies that he pulled. But I want to tell you something. By grace, he was considered the righteousness of God. by grace. Abraham was greatly blessed because he was counted as righteous by God. It wasn't Abraham's good behavior. His simple faith caused him to receive it as a gift. That's the same true for you and me. And that actually happens when you receive Christ. We don't know it. We need to reprogram our computer. That's what the Bible says about renewing our mind. And we reprogram our computer and we embrace it. Somebody say, deem it so. Reckon it so in our lives. This is a gift. This gift puts us in position to receive everything else Jesus has in store for us. You say, Pastor Tim, you're repeating. Yeah, I know. That's one of the criticisms that people make of me, and there's been some inside the house, outside the house. It's okay. They say, I'm a parrot. I repeat. Well, I want to just give you a good word. Jesus did too. I want to give you another word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Do you get the idea? Faith comes by hearing and hearing. It's not heard one time, say it amen, and go home and not applying it. Okay, that's well, okay. I'm going to do a sermon on that one then. But this is a gift that puts us in position to receive everything else that Jesus has provided for us. And so the main question is here today, do you know that you have the robe of righteousness, and are you believing it? Are you receiving it? Because it's yours. Do you receive it enough to have your name on it with His name? Because you got to own it. And you got to apply it. You have this gift through salvation. Okay? You recognize it. You receive it. You respond to it. Jesus' righteousness qualifies you for every other blessing. Because of it, you qualify for every promise made in the Bible. In Christ, we get the robe of righteousness. And because we have the robe, the position of righteousness, we get provision. We get health. We get favor of God. We get breakthroughs. We get protection. Angels salute you because of this robe of righteousness. Demons flee from you because of this robe of righteousness. It's not you, it's Him. They're byproducts. All the blessings are byproducts of having received Jesus' own righteousness. It don't happen without Him. As sons and daughters of God, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to chase down our blessings. We don't have to be good enough to be blessed. Every good thing is already ours through the cross. Let's do this. Let's actively seek Jesus. Well, how do you do that? You know what? You turn your heart toward Him, and you express toward Him. I double dog dare you to do this, Lord. I want to know You better. I want to know You as a personal shepherd. I want to know how to walk in Your forgiveness, in Your robe of righteousness. I want to know how to apply and receive all that You have for me. And I want to tell you, when you pray that, see, you continue with your heart toward God. You seek the Lord. When you seek, you'll find. That's what the Bible says. And the emphasis in the Bible is to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking, to keep on asking. And He promises that He will reveal to you. It's not hidden from you, it's hidden for you. And so every good thing is already ours through the cross. Let's seek the Lord in His righteousness. Now sometimes we can't see very clearly. My little grandgirls have access to everything as a toy. They take my glasses. I've got a picture of little Thea wearing the glasses upside down, walking around, being like Papa T is the cutest thing. But she plays with my glasses. The grandgirls play with my phone. I realized the other day, you know, I'm the only one that lets them do that, I guess. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes I pick up my glasses after they've been playing, and I can't even see through them. You understand that? Well, I got a little picture from the Holy Spirit when that happened the other day in Oklahoma. I picked them up and I said, I can't even see through that. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, that's what happened when we put our fingerprints on everything. And we're focusing on us, me, 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 me. Let's talk about me, all about me. When we do that, we can't see them very clearly. Picked up my phone. Little Peb's been playing with my phone. I tried to take a little picture of the grandkids, and all I could see was myself. I told Pebs, I said, something wrong here. I can't even see. All I can see is me. Here, Papa T. She took it. She said, you hit this button. And she hit it, and she turned the camera to where I, you understand what I'm saying? But see, the Holy Spirit's whispering to me that that's our problem when we can't see the robe of righteousness and see the cross and see Jesus, is that all we see is me. Well, there needs to be a turning of focus. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Hey. As sons and daughters of God, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to chase down our blessings. We don't have to be good enough to be blessed. Every good thing is already ours through the cross. Let's seek the Lord. We believe, we receive. And blessings flow in our life and through our lives and into others. See, it's not just for us, it's for others. And you know what? This happens effortlessly. We believe, we receive. We rest in the Lord. We practice resting in Him. And guess what? The kingdom of God accelerates in our life. Again, listen. Seek first of all His kingdom and His righteousness. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Seek the King. See the King. Look for Him. Well, it's something Nikki whispered to me on the phone, some of our fellowship last week. She said, just look for Him. You know, if you just look for Him, you're going to see Him. Because He loves to reveal Himself. He's the kingdom. That's where our hope comes. Look for Him. There's an expectancy. His goodness, His unfailing love. Hey, that's why we focus on Him and we receive. Have you ever gotten a good laugh at a puppy chasing its own tail? That's just as cute as can be. Now, when I was raised up, my dad raised beagles because rabbit hunting was the thing. And those beagle dogs are amazing hound dogs. They don't always make good pets. I'm not telling you to go get one as a pet. Deborah has one. You can ask. But they're very loyal. But I'm telling you, they're designed to hunt. And they'll hunt inside your house or outside. They're going to hunt. That's what's in their blood. But I want to tell you something. We had one little beagle puppy that would absolutely growl at his own tail. He'd growl at it. You know, want to fuss at it, trying to grab it. Want to get mad at it like it's invading his territory. Now, he wouldn't have frustrated himself and wore himself out if he understood that he already got it. And that it's a part of him. I'm sharing with you the very reason why a lot of believers get burnt out, frustrated, and wore out and quit is because they don't realize that the robe of righteousness is already theirs. It's already been paid for, and they already got it, and it's a part of them. But they're wearing themselves out to try to earn something that's already been given as a gift. Well, we could make a whole lot more progress if we just believe and receive and practice putting on and wearing the robe of righteousness and letting God be God. You already got it. That's the real you. Little puppy, believers, when you walk or run or play or go in circles or sleep or eat, it goes with you. Even if you go sin, the robe of righteousness is still with you. Can it be ignored? Seek Jesus the King. Seek His kingdom. Seek to understand, to believe, to receive, to rest in His righteousness as your great gift position. He's the priority. He's the focus. He's the center. He positions you to receive these blessings, The focus is Jesus and his position, not the blessings. Jesus told the disciples after one of their ministry journeys, and they came back so excited about the power and the authority and the miracles, and Jesus said, you need to rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because that's our position. All the power, all the authority, all the blessings comes from our position. Let him be the center. And all these spokes, wheels in the wheel, will take care of themselves. They'll be byproduct of the robe of righteousness. And so seek him. Keep it simple, saints. Believe and receive. The promises of God will chase you down. Psalm 23 and verse 6. And this is out of the Message Bible. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. Does anybody see a grunt in that? Does anybody see earning in that? No, but by our position of righteousness through Jesus, this is a part of our blessing. His beauty and love, his unfailing love, his mercy, his grace, his loving kindness will chase you down every day of your life. And he says, I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Hey, don't ever get away from it. Amen. Learn to rest in him, receiving in him. I got just a little bit more. And I can't tell what time it is. Boy, I'm blessed then. That probably means I got a lot of time. Say? Well, glory to God. I should have kept my mouth shut. All right. You seek him. You pursue him. Blessings. Let me tell you about blessings. You know what they are? They're just expressions of his love. He loves loving on you. They're expressions of his love, and you know what? He wants to chase you down to love on you. That's a good picture. They'll overtake you, not by your works, but by the finished works of Jesus. Amen. By your position, Jesus qualified you. Let's rest in your address. Your address. See, when you received Christ, he placed you in him. I love Psalm 91:1. You know we love Psalm 91. But I want to tell you, that position of rest, of protection, of being under his wing, being in his presence. See, Jesus paid for you to be there. We just need to practice it. We need to see it. We need to deem it so. We need to reckon it so. We need to practice his presence. That's resting in him. And when you rest, he accelerates. It chases you down. The blessings come to you. Rest in your address. I think that's a good word. I told the UPS guy one day, I said, hey, bring me the good stuff. He looked at me and said, you do your part, I'll do my part. I said, yeah, the Lord's speaking to me right now. We believe and receive. He knows your address. Jesus paid for it. Enjoy your address. And he's the deliverer. He brings them. Practice perceiving, renewing your mind to the gift of righteousness. This truth is an eye-opener. I'm telling you what, it's a key to victory. You'll see effects in your life in every arena. You'll also see the reinforcement of this revelation all through the New Testament. Because I want to tell you something, you see what you focus on. If you'll start focusing on the position of righteousness and you resting in him, you know what? You're going to see it everywhere you turn. You're going to see the dancing hand of God everywhere you turn. You're going to say, that wasn't by my grunting, that's grace. I want to tell you, when I was traveling and speaking, this was in early on. I was doing a lot of traveling, and I bought a Honda Accord. And, you know, they weren't popular then. Matter of fact, people made fun of me because I bought the little Honda Accord. I want to tell you, it's an amazing little car. I put 250,000 miles on it. It's an amazing car. But I want to tell you something. You know, after I bought that car, you know, I thought I was the only one that had one. After I bought it, I began to see them everywhere. You ever had that happen? You know why? Because then I was focused on the Honda Accord. Because I had it. You realize you got it, you'll start seeing it everywhere. That's for you. You'll see the effects of your life in every area. Let Jesus be the center. He loves being the center of your heart, your life, your mind, your focus. The more you seek, the more you see. Boy, that's good. The more you believe, guess what? The more you're going to speak it. Remember this spiritual principle, Romans 10:10. Wow, I guess I'm out of time for real. For with the heart a person believes, and so is justified. And with the mouth he confesses and confirms his salvation. So see that spiritual principle's there. You see it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth. You see and believe in your heart, you confess it with your mouth. Practice believing in your heart that you've received the grace gift of righteousness and begin to confess it with your mouth. You can say it with me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, that fits you. That's your position that Jesus paid for. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let's all say it again.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in. How do you view yourself? It's important to start seeing yourself as God sees you. And to be literal living examples of the righteousness of God. That's beautiful. He made Christ to be our righteous in him. Through Jesus, we've become the righteousness of God in him. And so we got to own it. How do you own it? You got to renew your mind. You got to put your name on it. You got to be convinced. You can't walk around with a doubt. See, you can't. We had the example of praying a while ago, but you can't pray and say, Lord, please. Lord, if you don't mind. Lord, if it's your will, please touch this situation. No. That's not authority. That's not power. That's not from the position of righteousness. Jesus paid the price. Okay? It's our gift. It's our birthright. And he's given us authority. And when you pray, you don't say, please, bad symptom in my body, please go away. No, you take authority over and say, in Jesus' name, get out of here. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. The stripe of Jesus took care of you, get out. The blood of Jesus took care of you because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I have a birthright. I'm commanding you. I'm decreeing. I'm declaring. I'm using authority. You have a birthright. Now, the reason you may not be hollering amen and getting all excited is because you say, well, I got to chew on that. Well, that's okay, chew on it. Because the more you chew on it, the more the Holy Spirit's going to show it to you. But that's why it's important. Jesus came, his position of rightness sets you free from worry. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be in anxiety. You don't have to be in shame because of your past. The blood of Jesus, your position of righteousness, takes care of that. You don't have to feel disqualified from intimate fellowship with the Lord because you have this. You have his righteousness. And this qualifies you to walk right into the presence of God because it represents the blood of Jesus, his rightness in you. You don't have to feel shame. Well, you don't know what all I've done. I know it's all forgiven. And if it's forgiven, it's forgotten. And if God's not going to point it back out to you, I don't have a right to. Because it's the position of righteousness. I have the same one you got. And I want to tell you, that's how we can look at each other and love one another. We can have intimate fellowship with Father. When you have a beautiful baby that has a dirty diaper, the dirty diaper is not the real them. That's not the real them. I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. And we may see dirty diapers every now and then. You know what? That's real life. But I want to tell you, you look and see the real. Because the dirty diaper is temporary. Somebody say amen. Come on. The dirty diaper is temporary. The real them is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We need to celebrate that. You got nothing to prove. You don't have to impress anyone. You got nothing to hide. Once you know that Jesus is your everything, you don't have to be afraid of any situation in your life. You're going to the doctor because of the test, go on. Go in there smiling and leave smiling. It don't matter what they say. Because you have the robe of righteousness. I had a doctor tell me one time, well, I've had more than one, tell me one time, you know, you got a weak heart, you could die anytime. We don't know why you're still here. Does that mean you're trying to tell me I get to hug Jesus sooner than I thought? No, I'm telling you, that don't scare me. I know why I'm here. I know why I'm still here. And I'm good to go. I love my wife. Now, I love you. Now, Don't take that wrong, but I'm telling you, I'm good to go. I told a brother this week that, look, man, I got a glimpse. I'm so excited. I'm excited to get back. He paid for you to have this robe. You already got it. Put your name on this truth of right believing concerning his righteousness being your gift. It's your gift. You bring him an honor and glory when you receive it. You bring him honor and glory when you walk in it. It's got to be used. Everything in your life is going to have a victory flag in this fallen world. Now, it don't mean that you win every battle. But even when you lose a battle, you know the victory's been paid for. It'll make a difference in your mindset. Battles come, but the grace gift of his righteousness is our position in this journey to win. All right, I got this and I'm done. This was at a seminary. This is a real story. This is a seminary. I had a basketball gym. And seminary students were out playing basketball. The janitor was in the stands waiting on them to finish so he could finish cleaning the floor. And he's reading his Bible. And the guys finish their game, and they're walking off. And, of course, they're seminary students. You know, they're full of it. They know a lot. And so they walk by the janitor, and they say, "What you reading?" He said, "I'm reading Revelation." And they started laughing, you know. Pastor Don brought it out this morning. I ain't got there yet. He studies there. He stays there. What little I understand, we're not going to be here when it happens anyway. But I'm telling you, it's a blessing to read it and to study it. But when you see the revelation, see Jesus. It's the revelation of Jesus. Most important thing you can get out of Revelation is seeing Jesus. It's the revelation of Jesus. Okay. But anyway, the guys laughed at him and said, "Well, do you understand what you're reading? Because, you know, he's a janitor." He said, "I know this." And he had his Bible open. He said, "It says here that Jesus wins. Jesus wins, I win." Now I want to tell you something. They probably knew a whole lot more than him about Revelation. But he got it. He knew he had it. Because Jesus, his champion, wins in the end. And if Jesus wins, we win. I want to tell you something. The great thing about the cross is that Jesus won. Because Jesus won, we win. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your magnificent truth. I pray in Jesus' name that our eyes, our spiritual eyes and ears will be open to see the gift of righteousness that you so dearly paid for, that you paid for us to walk in it, to receive it, to believe it, to walk in it, to apply it to this life, so that we can walk as you walked, so that we can talk as you talked, so that we can manifest and multiply the kingdom of God on this earth now, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, let's give the Lord praise. Let's give him a salute. Amen. Let's praise the Lord.